Dirt and Sprague.
To my quarterbacks, Doug Flutie, thank you because you threw me my very first touchdown. Drew Brees, thank you because you helped kickstart my career, Drew Brees. And Phillip Rivers. Feel what we had on that football field was special.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
High drive, right field, doesn't have it, and has it, and it's gone! J.P. Crawford with a go-ahead blast with two outs in the fourth inning.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, the Fan of the Fan Sports Network.
What is happening?
Hello, happy Monday to everybody out there. How we doing? How we feeling?
Everybody feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good. Got a good night's sleep. Yeah. Nice little weekend. Yeah. Relaxing activities, fun things to do in the neighborhood. We're doing good.
I didn't see my family all day yesterday. Like, from start of day to end of day
on
sleep.
Purpose or it just happened?
Well, I was busy super early in the morning, so I left before the kiddos got up, ran some errands. By the time I got home, they had abandoned the house.
Oh, they're gone. They want to get out of the house and go do things.
Taking advantage of a cool afternoon. There was a little sun. It was nice, but it wasn't extremely hot.
Yeah, and then by the time I got done with the gambling show, it was about 6. I was cooking dinner. I saw my wife for about 10 minutes with my oldest. Then they left again.
See you later. We're out of here, Dad.
And then they hung out.
Bye, Dad.
I was asleep by 8:35 yesterday.
God, there you go. Feels amazing, doesn't it?
It was great.
When it happens, it's such a nice way to start your week. You get a full night's sleep. You're in bed on time. Everybody's energized and refreshed on Monday. Well, better way to start.
It's one thing, like, we're going out of town this Friday. We fly to San Francisco after the show. And so it'd be just the wife and I, so we won't see our kids. But, like, I'm driving in this morning, I'm like, I didn't even see my youngest kid yesterday, like, at all. Didn't communicate with her.
Is she alive? Is everything okay? Did she make it home last night? Did she sleep in her bed? Everything. All right, she's okay. Going to wake up this morning in bed, in the house. All right, everybody's doing all right.
Yeah. Now we're preparing you for high school.
Oh, I mean, I'm not, like, sitting here crying. I was just like, it was really weird.
That's
a
unique Sunday when
that
happens.
Got home, had the house to myself all day. I'm like, what's going on here?
I think I did discover, too, definitely the best tee time for having kids is an early morning tee time because I played golf early yesterday morning and happened to coincide returning home directly, not quite specifically, but like maybe 20 minutes after the nap started. And it's a perfect time because then you get home and you're not just thrust back into the reality of life.
You get
and
organized.
It's like, well, I can put my stuff away.
Find a bite to eat.
Eat a little bit of food. I can, you know, take care of a couple things around the house, maybe sit down, watch a little TV for a while. And then after like an hour and a half, you're refreshed, you're recharged, your energy battery's back up.
And you're ready for
And you're ready to go watch a kid when he wakes up from his nap. It was a perfect little Sunday.
I also, this past weekend, it's a nice reminder of how incredibly jealous of the city of Seattle I am.
Yeah.
It was great.
They got a lot of cool stuff up there, man. They got a lot of things to do.
We stayed 2 blocks from Climate Pledge because we went to the Storm game Friday. Double overtime thriller.
Nice little game Friday night.
It was a nice little
game. Any autographs for the kiddos?
Dude, so my youngest got a Cameron Brink Sparks jersey when she got drafted. Yeah. My wife was like, oh, she'd love this. And she didn't care about it, right?
Oh, no.
So she puts it on because Cameron Brink has come back from her injury and she's playing. So she's wearing a Cameron Brink jersey, and I was actually really proud of her. She leaned all the way in on being a sports heel.
Yeah.
She was the only Sparks fan in our section.
Everybody's rooting for the Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, when they're doing defense, she's like, offense! She was doing everything. She was going crazy when they scored.
Yes.
Right? So I'm like, let's go get her autograph. That'd be really cool. So we grabbed the jersey off her back. We walk down because we're right by the Sparks tunnel.
Okay, trying to do the hang over the railing thing.
Hang over the railing, dangling. Like let her see the cute little kid so maybe she'll come over and sign it. And she just kind of, she just told the little girl before us, she's like, oh, I'll be back. And then she left. The team goes and celebrates. Big win for them, right? So we're hanging out. I'm like, I think she's coming back. About 10 minutes later, the security guard's like, nah, they're not coming back. Let's get it going.
Time to clear it out.
So they kind of usher us out, and we get kind of the top of the section to the concourse, and I look down, and guess who has come back out?
Oh, no.
And I didn't, you know, I wasn't going to be the pushy guy who's, like, obsessed with getting the autograph, but I looked down, I'm like, oh, she did come back. And then we saw a line forming, so we went over to where the line was to go down, and the security guard goes, family and friends, and I'm not kidding, Dirt. might have been like 180 people in this line.
That's a lot.
Because she's low. It's
she's
local,
a local. Yeah, she's back in her area.
And so I look down and like she's holding little kids and she's got all these people. So my kid was okay with not getting her autograph, but sure. It was just like a almost perfect experience.
God, it was close. That's a good lesson for the kids though, to learn the dangle the jersey over the top, yes. The rush for the autograph.
Yep.
It's a struggle. And the hit rate on it for kids is very small. But when you get that one autograph, it doesn't happen very often, but the one time you get it, God, is it worth it.
It's an amazing feeling.
When you get that autograph, you look at it, you turn around, look at your parents, you got the big smile on your face, hang that thing up on your wall in your room. Nothing better than that as a kid.
I remember one of my favorite autographs to get was the first year Yao Ming was a Rocket. We went to the game because I had a buddy who was a big Rocket fan. He loves Stevie Franchise. So we show up to the game early. I'm like, dude, I think they let us sit at this time. We get autographed.
Get
like,
there early. Watch him warm up.
So he had a Steve Francis, like, Slam magazine or something. And then I just showed up with, like, a blank piece of paper.
Right.
And I'm probably, you guys have been to the Moda. From the court, I'm probably 15 rows up, okay? But I'm by the tunnel. And I'm, like, there, but I'm... Dude, Yao Ming blew my mind when he walked out and we were eye level.
Nine rows up
like
in the Raptors.
10 plus rows up. I'm like, autograph? And he's like,
yes. You got it.
And he gave me his autograph and I was like, dude, that guy is a giant.
That is a massive human being. I've never seen somebody that big
head
before.
Weighs 20 pounds.
Oh, dude, his head. The two biggest heads I've ever seen
like
in my life.
The size of a massive watermelon.
Yao Ming and Andrew Luck. The two biggest heads I've ever seen, like, up close. Like, oh, my God.
Andrew Luck had a massive head. Andrew Luck was a massive individual.
He was a massive individual.
Huge.
But he had to have worn... like a bochi hat, like an eight and a half hat. Like, it was insane how big his helmet was.
Be a fun trivia question. What size hat does Yao Ming wear?
Oh, dude, I don't
know.
Now,
did you keep the Yao Ming autograph?
I have lost the Yao Ming autograph. Again, okay. It was on a piece of paper. Like,
yeah, that's not one that you're going to...
There was nothing special about it.
If it was on the ticket, if it was on the jersey, something that was savable and keepable other than a white piece of... You can't really frame a white piece of paper. Can't really do anything cool with that.
Chris Paul... Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant. Those would probably be the most famous.
That's a pretty good collection of autographs.
I'm trying to think of like Gary Payton. Yeah. Like, those are probably the ones I've gotten in person that I was like, oh, my God.
Somebody, this says is 7 5/8, maybe,
dude,
for a hat.
I
feel like it should be bigger than that. I think that's underselling. Google AI is underselling it.
Yeah, that's not a ginormous head.
What year was he drafted? 2000?
Somewhere around there. That sounds right,
so
I think.
I'm 13 going on 14 that year. You got to remember. I mean, maybe it is a 7 5, but like at that
2002.
Time. Okay, 02.
Number one overall pick in the 02 draft.
So I'm a teenager, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm like, good God. And I don't have a big head. I have a pretty tiny head, but like I was just looking at it, I'm like, dude, your head is... It's massive.
It's like five of my heads.
There's
man.
No way it's a 7 5/8.
No, I'm not buying it at all. That's the one their Google AI is totally screwed
well,
up.
Well, Google AI, we need to stop trusting when we Google stuff. Their AI has actually been proven to be pretty awful.
I only believe it when it gives me the answer that I want, that I'm seeking, then it's correct. But if it's not an answer that I'm seeking, but these computers don't know what the hell they're talking about.
It's actually a good poll question.
Robot
for the
idiots.
Day. Do you only believe Google AI when it gives you the answer?
When you're trying to win an argument?
That's what I thought.
No, I told you happened this year. Let me Google it. See, I told you. Look. Backed it up with facts, all right?
Google that. Google's not even right most of the time.
All the information I need. I know. I am. Every time I'm up there, I think the same thing. If I go to a Mariner game, if I go to anything, I'm just like, God, we're just trying to hold on to the Blazers down here. You know, let's step number one.
I know.
And then we can rebuild our sports dreams from there. Let's hold on to the Blazers.
Sunday before a Seahawks game, the nice, you know, 125 kick.
Walking around.
The vibes in that city have got to be
immaculate. You go
through
Pioneer Square, and you're going through the district down there.
Well, it was really cool, Swag, because when we got out of the Storm game, it simultaneously was at the exact moment that Crawford had the walk-off.
Oh, on Friday night.
At Friday. So by the time we had actually, like, you know, meandered away from the arena, we go back to the hotel, and guess what was right across the street from my hotel?
Yeah.
dicks.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So I was like, we got to go get a big bag of dicks.
Got to go while you're
so
there.
So we walked into Dick's, and you had Mariner fan, Storm fan, and everybody, even though the Storm lost, everybody's in a good mood. It's like, we had something to do tonight.
You had a walk-off home run from your baseball team who's vying for a playoff spot. Hopes are high.
Yes.
Everybody's feeling good in the city.
Oh, the vibes were great, man. And I just was like,
That's the one thing about sports that you just can't, you don't really get that in any other walk of life in your town.
No, you know. There's nothing that matches
It's the vibes of a post game. You're walking out. Everybody's doing stuff.
Chanting.
Everybody's feeling good. Yep, like you cannot match that level of energy and intensity. And like a concert's great. Hey, that was a great show. Let's all go party. It's not the same as your town winning a big game.
No.
Or a cool sports moment. And we just don't get enough of those around here.
We certainly don't. We certainly don't. We lost to Trinity Rodman yesterday on the road in our women's soccer team. Yeah. We had that going for us this weekend.
Well, the Rodmans are tough, man.
She's back from the injury.
It was her first game back from injury.
It's a Team USA player right there.
It is a Team USA
player. Look at Soccer Dirt coming with facts.
I just was like, you know, and then our hotel was a little overpriced, but like centrally located. So I don't know. I was fine
with
the price.
If you get in the right area, you can at least walk to a lot of
We were right off Queen Anne.
Yeah.
Like we're on Queen Anne. And so you can walk to all these cool spots. Our hotel had a rooftop. So we woke up, got coffee, went to the rooftop. And it was like the overcast, but not cold.
Not too hot. Perfect weather.
Elliott Bay.
Dude, I was like, this is the vibe.
This is it, dude. I'm moving up here. Furness looking for a co-host. Are you bailing on me right now? Are you bailing on me?
I wanted to tell you the funny thing is I ended up having a dream last night that you and I did get a gig in Seattle.
Got a gig in Seattle, huh?
But the weird part was Danny Parkins, who used to host in Chicago and is now on FS1, he had to teach you and I how to use the software at the radio station.
He's giving us the rundown of Wide Orbit.
Really weird. Yeah, basically their version of Wide
Orbit.
Here's
how you save stuff in.
It was very weird.
You edit stuff.
Didn't make any sense. But you and I were like, dude, we made it.
I don't think I'd last too long up there, man. I think my opinions of sports teams would probably run me out of town relatively quickly.
This is the thing.
Unless they're cool with a heel coming up and doing Seattle sports radio.
Some of our listeners would, I think some listeners of us that have been with us for a very long time would actually follow us. The problem is you would actually have to pay a company to scrub your Twitter account of any and all Seahawk, Mariner, UW opinion.
There's a lot of it out there.
There is.
There's a lot of laundry out there.
And then you go up there, and I think you do the, I acknowledge I'm an Oregon Duck, but then you just lean super into the brutal honesty, and you kind of become a pseudo Mariner Seahawk fan.
Ah, you think I could become a hybrid fan of those teams?
I mean, I think you would cover
after
it in
a while.
Yeah, I think after a while, you're in it, you're around it, you're talking to people with it, you hear from the fan base. Like
naturally happens.
Yeah, I think it kind of just, I don't know, it like gets attached to you.
It's like a barnacle that starts growing on your arm. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm a 12. I got a 12 tattoo on my calf. What happened there, man?
I don't know if you're going that far.
Things got extreme quick, dude. I got a Soto Mojo tattoo on my ass, man.
Telling Ducks to bow down, bitch.
Whoa, didn't you go to college there?
How did you get there?
It's totally turned around, man.
Well, they had a 10-win season. Oregon had a 9-win season. The rest of
drinking
history.
Too much Starbucks since he got up here.
First segment, I would drop a, remember when the Huskies went 0-12? People don't forget.
Oh, dude.
Get booed out of the studio.
See you later. Yeah, that wouldn't be the way to approach that. Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Nice little weekend, though, man. I'm jealous of them up there.
I am too, man.
They got a lot of stuff to do, and I would love to have a town here, sports town here, where we were the same.
It does make me feel like a little brother, but it's like the little brother that's like acknowledging out loud, yeah, I want what the big brother has.
I mean, that's usually how it goes. The little brother is usually in a position of jealousy and wanting what the big brother... That's why the relationship analogy is perfect, because when I was a little brother growing up, I wanted everything that my brother had.
Yep.
He was cool. I wasn't cool. His clothes were cooler than mine. His
he
room
was
cooler
Johnson.
Than mine. He was the big
Johnson.
I was a little Johnson. I wanted everything that he had, and that's exactly the way we are with Seattle, and that's why I hate him.
Well, I hate to start the show on this note, but red hot and rolling.
Oh, God, don't do it.
They
Not
won
more.
3 of 4.
Not more.
Dude, they're 2.5 back of the division.
They're
2 back
good.
Of the Yanks.
The walk-off home run
they're
was a cool
game
scene.
Behind the
half
Yanks.
Half game, thank you. It's 2.5 of Houston, a half game of the Yanks.
Yeah, the Yankees are now third in the AL East. The Red
the Yankees
Sox
had themselves a nice little weekend.
Bro, they're Tom Petty free-falling right now, man.
Have fun with Camilo Doval, that blown save on night one. I was like, ain't my problem anymore. See you later, buddy.
So let's start there. We'll start with a little baseball stuff. We got a lot of football to get into today. Will Stein spoke.
He did. We got our first Will Stein press conference.
He had a Teddy Bridgewater question, and he was like,
What? We played together at Louisville like 15 years ago. Did you know?
He's a good dude, but I don't know what's going on in that situation.
Haven't really followed that one closely.
So we'll get to some Will Stein audio today. Dan Rubenstein's going to join us from the Solid Verbal Podcast, one of the best college football podcasts out there. He's a former Duck. Still a duck. Went to Oregon?
Yes. Went to Oregon. I think once a duck, always a duck, baby.
Does a really good job covering college football. He's like not one of those dirt duck honks. He's like actually has one of some objectivity to him a little bit.
Not one of those duck boys out there flapping his feathers.
No, he's not quack, 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 Mr. Ducksworth. We'll get to him coming up at 8:15. That'll be the Daily Ticker. And I'm going to ask you a very uncomfortable question that's going to make everybody feel awkward, and you can feel free to throw it back right in my face and tell me I'm way off base on it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
Too far of an opinion
or
just right?
Oh, okay.
Working on the segment called Too Far or Just Right.
I got one that I can throw into the mix there. My wife asked about something this weekend that I had to like do a triple take of like, are you really asking about this right now? To me, it crossed the line. And I want to know if it crosses the line for other people, too.
Depends what his name is. All right, we have a lot to get into today. Let's start red hot and rolling up north next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. All right, I got to be honest with you. It doesn't happen very often, but a tease has hooked me to the point where I might have to boot to the next segment.
Going to push things back.
Baseball stuff. The Yankees are in an absolute free fall.
Played a Little League game on. Was that Friday night or Saturday night? They blew like a 6-0, 9-3, 10-8, 12-9, whatever it was. Like five different leads in one game.
The Red Sox are hot right now.
Yeah, baseball stuff's good, man. I also think the National League playoff picture is done.
Oh, you think it's done?
Yeah, I mean, am I wrong? Who's gonna who do you have any faith in? I think there's like a
Are you talking about the wild card or the division
I think
race?
All the division races could still be decided.
Because right now, the Cubbies are up 3.5 games, the leader in the wild card.
I'm just
the
talking
Mets.
About playoff teams, of the teams in the playoffs right now.
You don't think the Reds could stay viable?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I know my team can't.
Eli White took him deep. See that race car game?
Yeah, like I actually didn't watch any of that. I heard it was a disaster.
Well, it rained out on the Saturday. They had to finish Sunday early.
Got it.
It was a bit of a disaster. It also just didn't look cool because it was like the outfield fence, and then behind that fence was the track, so you just see cement. It just was a
so
weird.
You hit a home run onto the track?
It's like a cool thing to I don't even know if they could reach the track, but it was a cool thing to say they were doing. They had like, these specialty unis, but like
it didn't exactly work
a little over
the way.
I don't know why baseball is kind of outthought the room here. Like the Field of Dreams thing was their thing every summer, and now they don't do it every summer anymore, do they?
You know what I think would be cooler is if you played the baseball game with a race car race happening at the same time.
Yes, now we're talking. With a chance of a crash and a car landing in center field. And you got to play around the car. You got to play it as it lies. Here comes Dale Jr.
Or give me around the baseball stadium monster truck show.
Jumping over guys on the field.
Just lean into your Southern white roots as hard as you possibly can.
I mean, the Giants and Braves, I think that was the game that did the Rickwood Field game, the old Negro League Stadium. That was a year or two ago. So they try and do, I know, one of these or two of these every year.
Think the NL race is closed, huh?
I do, yeah.
Pods, Mets,
yeah,
Cubs?
The Reds I think it's done. Four games behind the Padres for the last
Reds
wild
are fine. They're not a terrible team, but I don't
see the Padres sliding.
I don't see anybody in the playoffs sliding, and I don't think anybody outside of the playoffs is going to play hot enough to make up a 4-5-6 game gap.
Now the AL race much different. The Mariners a half game back. They still have Texas on their heels. To be fair,
yeah, it was a nice series win.
Back,
that's why it was
Cleveland's
big.
Three back. Royals are 3.5 back.
Cleveland, I think, is probably not going to do it based on their deadline. Although they didn't sell everybody,
but they were kind of sellers.
But they're kind of, I think, acknowledging where the rest of their season's going to go. Kansas City's a unique team. I mean, they got a lot of talent. And Bobby Witt Jr. is a stud, so I could see that maybe pushing a little bit.
Boston has certainly turned it around since. Trading Devers. Their record post Devers is amazing. So
I feel like that's been Boston for every year for the last every time, even when they lose guy, even when they traded away Mookie Betts, everybody thought, oh my God, how can you recover? And they haven't been a World Series team.
Which is the problem with the fan
that's
base.
That's the problem, but they're in the mix every year. They find a way to stay viable.
All right, we'll get to the other stuff with that, but so your wife tells you something. I need to know where are we going with this?
Well,
are we having a threesome with a dude?
No, threesomes with dudes. That's not going to happen anytime soon.
Anytime soon.
So we were at, you never know, right?
Not out of the question.
So they have this thing in the old, he's our scuba instructor. What? Scuba? You want to do the scuba? There's this thing in our neighborhood, like this Sunday in the park thing that we went to yesterday. I got home from golf. Kid woke up from a nap. We walked up. It was a great time, right? They got little food vendors and there's ice cream and all this stuff. Although one note on it, they chose a musical act that was maybe the worst and weirdest musical act that I've ever. It was sounded like he was singing like gothic Greek music, if that makes any sense. Like, what is happening right now?
My guess is they probably don't have a large budget.
I know, but talent. You think there's somebody in the neighborhood that can like play a keyboard. Can we get them up there? Get a little funk music, little kick tap on the drum.
Where Scotty doesn't know.
Right? Like, I'm just walking around like, this might be the worst music that I have ever heard.
Sure.
But the rest of it was a lot of fun. And it's like a chaotic thing in the park. So you're walking around. There's kids running around everywhere. It's a little bit of chaos. She floated to me the idea. She said, you know what? I think we should contemplate buying. I said, well, okay, where is this going to go now? We always want to buy things. She wants to put our kid on a leash.
What?
What happened? I don't know.
Did
nothing
he run away from you?
No, nothing happened.
Did you lose him?
She said, well, just like when we're in a crowded space. I said,
no.
You watch him when you're in a crowded, like you're just, one of us is always like, hey,
you'll
I'm
hold
on
him
duty.
Or hold his hand.
Hold his hand or I'm following him around. Like he runs around like crazy. It doesn't take that much effort to watch him.
This needs to be.
Because I got longer legs than he does, so I can make up ground pretty quickly if he starts bolting
in
a certain direction.
If it's truly chaos, you're picking him up.
You're picking him up, right? I'm not going to let him go loose. And I looked at her like, wait a minute, are you, I couldn't tell if she was being serious, if she was joking. Said, you want us to be the people at the place with the kid on a leash? I said, have you ever seen a kid on a leash? Well, no, not really. And you want to be that parent walking around?
She'd never
leash?
Seen one.
I mean, I haven't seen one. I don't think she has either. So
it's
like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it. And you're like, this has no place for this
poor
situation.
Guy,
this poor kid.
Poor guy.
Let him get a little lost.
Like of all the things. Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air, so she didn't want me to bring this one up. But I said,
"You just threw her under the
I said, "Look, this." I said, "Babe,
played.
First off, content is king. You should know that content is king since you've married me. When content comes up, there's certain things that just need to be addressed live on the air in front of thousands
She's
of people.
She's going to start a podcast and just air out how bad
the
sex
retorts
you are."
Let me tell you the truth about him.
The Dirty, Dirty Podcast.
I mean, look, I got all sorts of, you know, faults and flaws. There's no doubt about that. But this was one that I just...
A leash?
I couldn't let this one slide.
Dude.
Don't worry. Rest assured, we will not be putting our kid on a leash. I will... that'll be a hill that I die on in the relationship. I decided, how did we get here? How are we doing kids on leashes thing, man?
We
make fun of the people that put their kids on a leash.
There are so many things now in society that, like, you say something and you always hear from the one person that does the thing you're making fun of. And it's like, guys, actually, this is a topic that I will just say out loud, like, never get to a point in your life where you are a kid on leash person.
You don't want to be that person.
I just could not fundamentally disagree with you more. Keep up with your kid.
Run around, follow them.
Hold their hand.
Yeah.
Hold them. If you can't keep up and you don't want to hold them.
Put them back in the stroller.
Start exercising.
Yeah.
Be active. Maybe it wouldn't be hard to keep up with the kid. No. They're tiny.
It's not that hard to keep up with
kids. You ever seen a T-Rex chase a human in those Jurassic Park movies? The human doesn't outrun the T-Rex.
If the kid can outrun you, you got problems.
It's ridiculous.
Don't let a kid outrun you. They got tiny little legs. They shouldn't be able to outrun you.
I'm so against leashes on children. And I see them and I'm just like, are you just stuck on the internet with kid trafficking? Yeah. Like, what's the problem?
Somebody's going to snatch your kid up.
Stop watching television. Get off the internet.
I did make some of those jokes, too. I thought, is this like a safety thing? Like, you're worried about somebody stealing them in a crowd? And
so how quickly was she like, okay, sorry, I just was randomly thinking this?
She tried to hang on the opinion for a couple of moments.
Really?
And then I did my normal sarcastic, I'm gonna make fun of you kind of thing, and then I think it slowly withered away. But the idea of like kids getting snatched, I was like, I've lived in this neighborhood my whole life. Yeah, you know, we probably lost 30 of them a year when I was a kid, man. Half my fourth grade class just snatched out of nowhere. It's a big problem where we live right now. They're getting taken left and right.
You're married to leash lady. Who could have seen that coming?
Well, look, hold on. Wife's defense, leash idea lady.
You're defending the person you brought up idea.
I have to go home later today. You don't have to do that. I have to go home later tonight when she returns kids from work, and this will be a thing. So I'm in her defense. It was just an idea. It was a storyboard idea, and we decided to not follow through with that storyboard.
Yeah, she hadn't workshopped that
yet. She hadn't
quite.
She was just floating it out there, you know, let's test group this thing and see what the reaction's going to be from the people out there.
I would have thrown it out a different way to test that idea instead of just like, what do you think about us getting a leash for Teddy Ball game?
If I'm in enough hot water, the next time you see him in public, he might have a leash on him. We'll see how this one goes.
I cannot wait for Christmas to get her
here,
a leash.
Here, boy, heel.
With a poop bag and be like, here you go, next time you go to the park.
When we potty train, just hold a bag underneath. Here you go, buddy. There you go. He can say the word poop now, which I'm very proud of.
It's like the kid in Grown Ups that's eating from his mom's breast when he's like 7 years old. That's Teddy Ball game taking a dump in the park, and she's just picking it up like it's dog. What's going on over there?
He's just dumping in the park, man.
Kids on a leash pooping.
That's what we taught him, man.
Wow.
Got real smart with that one.
I'm glad you stuck up pretty quickly and deaded that.
Yeah, it was a pretty immediate, like, let's take a second to think about how ridiculous this idea is.
I wouldn't know how to feel,
and
to be honest.
Unravel the layers of why we feel the need to do this.
If I saw your kid with a leash, I don't know what I would do. I'd probably be like, I gotta go.
We're gonna come hang out at the Sprague's, walking up your driveway.
Throw a tennis ball.
Pulling on a leash. Go get it.
You get one of those ones that you can hold the button and it, like, tightens. So you're like, rush.
Can't move. Frozen.
I'm really glad you ended that conversation.
Look, I stood up, all right? I stood on business yesterday, and I feel very proud about that.
Stood on business.
No, we'll see how things go today.
Ah, you're so dead when you get home.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. I love you, honey. You're a wonderful mom. You're the woman of my dreams.
She's turned the show off at this point. She's a
P5. You're the best thing that's ever happened
She's
to me.
She's a P5, dude.
You're incredible.
Neither one of us are getting invited over.
No. You guys are on the S list, too. You're in this with me.
Oh, I'm just mad because I was supposed to get Rice Krispie treats and somebody didn't bring them.
Now you're not getting Rice Krispie treats. Well, you needed to defend the leashes on kids, and then you would have got some more Rice Krispie treats.
She knows, and I know. This is all Andy's fault anyway. So, you know, this is how we got here. Let's get to the Mariners next on the Fan. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and the Fan Sports Network, 1080 AM. You name it, we're there. YouTube as well. Dan Rubenstein will join us on the Solid Verbal podcast coming up at 8:15 for the Daily Ticker. Yesterday, I was perusing, and I had noticed that the Mariners were playing the Rangers. They had a four-game set with them, and they ended up winning that one as well. So they took 3 of 4 against Texas. They're now 2.5 back of Houston in the AL West.
Astros are sinking right now.
They are. The Mariners are a half game back of the Yanks, who are also free-falling right now for the second seed in the wild card. I saw a tweet from a friend of the program who you're very fond of, and I'll just basically sum it up by saying, if anyone in the AL had to pick one team they didn't want to play, it would be us. Dave Softy Mueller. Seattle Mariners are the most dangerous team.
Most dangerous team in baseball.
In all of the American
Nobody
League.
Nobody is more dangerous than
Nobody
us.
Nobody is more dangerous. Now.
We are the captain.
You
now.
Might be wondering, Seattle, who are you afraid to play?
Yes. Absolutely no one. Nobody scares us.
Nobody.
All of our great postseason success as a franchise has led us to this point of having no fear going into the playoffs.
I really do admire it. I got to be honest. I know you're going to make fun of it. I admire the Mariner fan that knows their team all time historically is one of the worst in baseball history.
I would argue in all of professional sports in their existence. There's not many organizations in professional sports that have been worse than the Seattle Mariners.
Fewest amounts of postseason success to show for nearly 50 years. Yes.
I mean, it's
the only
remarkable.
Team in the sport to never be in a World Series.
And the minute they're like a game out of the first place of their division, it's like, no.
It's on! Look out, bitch! We're coming for you! What? All right. Okay. I mean, you did just lose 2 out of 3 to the A's, did you not? Like 5 days ago?
I admire it.
You're
you
5-5
it.
In your last 10, but okay. I digress, I guess.
What fan base in the Big Ten would this be equivalent of? Like, they were like a game back in the standings in the Big Ten football season. Is this like...
I mean, the postseason thing, people would say this is an Oregon vibe, but Oregon's been one of the better programs in the country over the last 25 years.
Not
you
allowed.
Just can't.
They've been to a couple of national championships.
They've been to a national championship.
They've been to two
before.
National championships.
God,
football's hard to say because for years they didn't have a playoff.
Yeah, touche. But either way, they're really feeling themselves right now in Seattle. Yeah. They won 3 of 4 against Texas. And so right now they're climbing, man. They're climbing the AL.
I mean, look, they had a great trade deadline. They're feeling good. The rest of their schedule is incredibly manageable too. Like they got one series in there with Houston, which will be a big one. But there's a lot of riffraff in there, especially the rest of the way. And so they can feast on that. They're going to be a playoff team.
Hard to see them not being a playoff
team. I think it would be, especially with the deadline moves that they made, it would be an epic disaster if they don't end up making the playoffs this year, because Gino Suarez is a free agent, and I don't know if they got a great track record of re-signing guys like that. And so
they claim that they had to get rid of him last time because they didn't have the money.
Yes, and so now you're going to re-sign him to a more expensive deal when he's 2 years older, coming off a career year, because that always works out well when you sign a guy after a career year and think you're going to get the same level of production. So it would be a disaster if they didn't make it. They will, because the schedule's manageable. And then the beauty of baseball is you get to that point and it's a total crapshoot, man. Like, they got good arms and good bats. I don't deny the possibility of them going on a playoff run, but if you're a baseball fan for long enough, especially a Seattle Mariner fan, you should know that nothing is given, and it's all a roll of the dice. Once you could run into a random dude who's number 7 in the lineup in the wild card round, who's getting hot. He could carry a team to a series victory because you have one starting pitcher that has a bad outing, and just like that, you lose 2 out of 3, and your season is over. Baltimore's done this back-to-back years. They've been one of the best up-and-coming teams in baseball for the last 2 years. This year has not gone according to plan.
No.
They didn't want to play. They've been back-to-back years of the playoffs. They didn't even want a playoff game.
Yeah.
Just boom, lose, season over, see you later. All right, guess I'll try again next year.
If I gave you 6 slots for the playoff spots, the 3 wild card and the 3 divisions, tell me where you think Seattle slots for you of how you power rank the AL. And you got to do this based on you're trying to guess who you think ultimately is going to be the best team.
I think Detroit, because of Skubal, deserves to be number one. I think he's one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the American League. He's having an unbelievable year, and I would put them number one on the list. After that, it's a roll of the dice. And people might laugh at this because of the way that they're playing over the last 10 games. There's something about Houston in the postseason that I want nothing to do with.
A little terrifying.
How many times do we do this with Houston where we just don't talk about them, we don't pay attention to them, they lose a couple of guys. Oh, Bregman's gone. Oh, Correa's gone, who I now know is back. And then you look up in the playoffs and you're like, hey, Houston's in their 9th ALCS in the last 10 years. They do it every year. And so, yeah, they're playing like ass right now.
Sure.
And maybe the Mariners catch them and win the division. Maybe the Astros have to be a wild card team. There is something about, and who did the Mariners lose to the last time they were in the playoffs?
Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's just something about them in the postseason that I want nothing to do with the American
League.
Detroit
1, Houston 2.
Yeah, and then it would be probably whoever ends up winning the AL East and has home field advantage in that scenario.
Toronto right now, 3
Toronto
games
probably
going to
be it. I'm not giving up on Boston. I know New York is a laughing
Boston's
stock.
Been playing great.
They're playing great, right? And the Yankees are
stealing
struggling.
Signs.
And I think the Yankees might, you know, they're going to rebound and the Yankees will get hot again at some point.
You think the Yankees are the one that I'm like, is...
They're something's not right.
The intel on the Yankees, it just feels like the errors, I mean, even Jeter's getting as close as Jeter could possibly get to saying they're not good.
I mean, Volpe at shortstop's been a disaster. I think he leads baseball in errors. Jazz Chisholm had the play where he was too far off the bag and got tagged up.
A-Rod was like, if I would have done what Jazz did today, I'd have been benched. Like, I don't remember A-Rod ever being benched.
I mean, that's one where it looks horrible aesthetically when you're watching it. I also, there's a very small sliver of me that understands the argument of a lot of infielders now are trying to drop fly balls in order to swap out base runners, and I can't remember who hit it.
Yeah.
But I know Chisholm is faster than whoever the guy was that hit it. His argument to the manager, to Boone, was essentially, I thought he was going to try and drop it to double me up or throw me out at second base, and I was trying to be prepared for that. He ended up looking like an idiot. That, to me, wasn't laziness, though. That wasn't hitting a ground ball and basically walking to first base in which you had a chance to go beat it out.
So where are the Mariners, then, of the 16?
I'd say third or fourth, somewhere
like right
in there
the
for me. Yeah, I'd say right in the middle. Okay. I think Skubal being an ace deserves to be, like, that's the one guy in one game that I want nothing to do with, that I don't want to face, and the Tigers are just dominating a bad division. The Astros, to me, deserve the benefit of the doubt because of their history. And then it's, you want to go Toronto, you want to go Seattle, you want to go Boston, you want to go New York. I think it's a mixed bag right there.
Okay, so it could be third.
Yeah.
Fourth.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
That's a fair analysis.
They're playing good baseball, man.
Nobody wants to play them in the playoffs.
The funny thing is, when you say that, I love ESPN always has last 10. and you're like, man, they're playing great baseball. Red Sox 8-2, Mariners 5-5.
I mean, they just lost a series of the A's, and I know that was before the deadline was over, but
sometimes it's let's react to the last thing we had.
The Yankees were terrible this weekend. Now they'll never be good again. The Mariners won 3 out of 4. Now nobody wants to play them. This will all flip flop in like a week and a half.
Saw my family was in Seattle, like downtown Seattle this weekend. I'm just telling you, like Mariner fans up there.
Oh, they're fired up.
They're feeling it right now,
as they should be, dude. They haven't had a lot of things to be excited about.
The White Sox and Rays at home all week long, 6 games, and they if they can keep
feast.
It rolling, they should take advantage of this
dude,
before
White
they
Sox,
go on a 42 East Coast road trip.
Yeah, White Sox.
Yeah, White Sox are terrible. The Rays are not the normal Rays this year. Those are very winnable series, and you got to take advantage of those when you get
it's
them
the
on
second
your
worst team in baseball. The White Sox.
Yeah,
yeah.
In most normal years, probably the worst, but the Rockies are in a class of their own.
The Rockies
own
are in a class of their own. Although the way they did to Pittsburgh on Friday was hilarious. They were down 9-0.
9-0 before they even came to bat, right? Didn't they give up 9 in the top of the first inning?
And then they won, 17-16?
They hit
something?
Arounds, gave up 9 runs, and they came back and won the game. Unbelievable. That's Coors Field for you.
Let's follow up on a massive story developing that came out Friday. There's been more to it. We'll get to it coming up next on 105.1 FM, The Fan. I have a confession to make about the NFL Hall of Fame. We'll get to the audio. We got cuts from all the players that got inducted into the hall this week. I watched the speeches this year. I don't watch it routinely, but when I do, I am like any, woman out there in a Snuggie watching her favorite rom-com, enjoying the tears. Like, I'm just sitting there
crying. Gonna kiss her. He's gonna kiss her.
Philip Rivers was your quarterback.
Sterling, you were so great. Injuries, man.
Also fun about Antonio Gates' speech is they booed Dean Spanos.
Yes.
And
because I'm sure most of the fans there were San Diego Charger fans.
They're OG Charger fans.
That was a weird thing this weekend,
very
which
odd.
They have to do, but like the Chargers team account tweeting some of that stuff out, I'm like, that technically is your franchise.
Yeah, it's
but it's
terrible.
Also not. It's totally different. It's that makes me uncomfortable.
Love Jared Allen taking shots at other teams. He was like, in the Bears. Let's move on from that.
You didn't give me any problems in my career.
Friday, the story came out. Micah Parsons, we had broke the Diana Rossini news on our show, but after our show, it got even juicier.
It did. About an hour later, I was at home, and I thought, whoa, okay, we got a long notes graph there, and we're demanding a trade out of Dallas.
Yeah, Micah Parsons sent out a huge notes. I didn't read it all because I'm not doing that, but he basically was, hey, I love you, Cowboy fan, but this franchise sucks, and I'm tired of this. And I hate these guys, and I want out.
Sprague responded with the, I'm not going to read all that, but best of luck, or that's really cool. Congratulations.
That's exactly what happened.
Good luck with all that, Micah.
I read the last three sentences. I go, all right, I got out of this what I needed to.
Last page of the book, we're all done.
But don't worry, Jerry Jones, Jera, he's not losing any sleep over this Micah Parsons request.
As always, in any relationships, there are different moods at different times of your relationship. That's what it is. Don't lose any sleep over.
So just Jerry, to be
that's
clear,
the one thing I would say to our fans, don't lose any sleep over.
He is absolutely insane. I don't even know if he knows where he's at anymore.
No.
The fact that the report says that he had a conversation with Micah in the offseason and thought that was the negotiation, and Micah was like, hey, negotiate with my agent, and then Jerry Jones didn't do that.
Yeah.
It's another level of absolute incompetence by this organization. Stephen Jones going on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas and saying, "Oh, I don't agree that we give deals out too late." It's like backed in fact.
Yes, year after year after year.
It's a fact, man. You can't fire all the facts of the history of contracts and when you doled them out.
No.
We know this stuff now.
They did it with Ezekiel Elliott. Remember when he was in Mexico for half of the season? They did it with Dak Prescott. They did it with CeeDee Lamb. The list goes on and on.
I just like, I don't know how you take, I don't know how their fans take them seriously. Like, you get Joe Fishers of the world that'll defend them and like get mad at you and be like, well, actually, I won 13 games 2 years ago. And be like, what have you heard about the Eagles this offseason? Bucks? Hell, even the Rams, like the biggest thing is like Stafford's load managing.
Yeah, is he 100% healthy? Where's he at?
Whatever. Like, you don't look at the teams in the NFC.
What have you heard about the Chiefs this offseason? What have you heard about the Bills this offseason? They do have a contract holdout, but it's not as ugly and nasty.
The messy, sloppy teams are the loudest teams. Now, I actually think Scary Terry's a different situation. He's at camp. He's dapping up people. it's a Debo Ayuk situation. He wants the trade, but not really. He wants the contract.
Yeah, he even shook the hand of the owner, I think, the other day at practice during his holdout.
Because they're negotiating.
In. Right.
Right? He's not, Josh Harris isn't going to the media and saying, I thought we had a deal already. So it's like, it's sloppy. You do not want to be the sloppy, loud team. And that's what they are right now.
I mean, that's who they've always been. They're bad at business. And it should be the most simple thing that you do when you're running an organization to make sure you appreciate and reward your guys first and foremost, always. And when you draft somebody like Micah Parsons, who becomes one of the best pass rushers and most dominant defensive players in the NFL, it should be the easiest decision of all time to say, you're our guy, you're a fan favorite, you're a fixture in our locker room, we're going to do whatever it takes to keep you. And the fact that they're not even returning calls to his agent, it's laughable. Like, he wanted a new contract 2 years ago. They didn't give it to him. He said, that's fine, I'll come out and play. He had a great year. Revisits it again in the offseason, and here we are still waiting for a new contract to be had. He's at practice. He's not talking to the Jones family. When he's there, there were some videos that surfaced of him kind of in a hoodie facing the other direction. And on top of all this for Jerry, showing how stupid he is, he used another player in the past in Dez Bryant and lied about how his negotiations went. And Dez Bryant and his representation, the Rock Nation Jay-Z group, had to come out and be like, that's not how that went down at all. You're shocking. Just blatantly lying about how that negotiation took place, and we're going to set the record straight. He's just lying through his teeth every time he opens his mouth, and he's incompetent as an owner.
It's just a joke, dude. That team could be good. They've got some talented pieces.
Yes.
I don't even like them. But if their owner was serious, they'd be in a different conversation.
Yep.
But it's a joke every single year to him. He just wants to make money, and he just wants to be a celebrity. That's all that is. Loaded second hour of the program. We will move on. We have Will Stein audio to get to. Put up a poll question. I'll tell you what the poll question is. A lot to touch on in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 FM, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.